If you would, you want to follow along, I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. For those of you at chapel, yes, again. It's all right, I like it. And it seemed appropriate, per the original schedule, I was supposed to preach last and close out the meeting. Larry Chris was going to preach this morning, but there were hindering causes. So since it was just me and Walter, I'll let him close it out. Well, there are advantages to going first, and there are advantages to going last. But I'm used to this place right now, so it's fine with me. But in pondering what I was going to preach on, I've been preached a couple of messages here in Ephesians chapter 1. And in pondering what I was going to preach on here, as per being the last one to speak, you know, we propose, but God disposes. But I thought this actually is a very nice place to be. And it's been a good couple of days. But I want to begin reading in verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I do have a title for this. It's two things Paul heard. Paul heard two things that he writes down here of these Ephesians. Now, Paul is a great user of summation, of conclusions. The apostle to the Gentiles was not just writing to write. He had a message. And sometimes he had two or three messages. But he would write, and then he would apply what he has written. He would write, and then he would conclude and tell you what he has written. He would write, and then he would draw conclusions from what he had written. This is the beginning of the conclusion for the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, which are some glorious verses. And it starts off, verse 15 starts off with the word wherefore. That leads you to know that this is a conclusion. The Young's Literal Translation puts it this way, because of this. Well, because of what? Because of these first 14 verses that he's already written down. Because of you are saints in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Because of being chosen before the foundation of the world. Because of all spiritual blessings in Christ, because of that we should be holy, because of having predestinated us, because of the praise of the glory of his grace, because of in whom, in him, in Christ, because of the fact ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and because of your inheritance. Paul's writing this conclusion. Because of all this, I heard some things. I heard some things. Some things had leaked out about these Ephesians. Some things will always leak out. Now, you can say good or bad, but some things will leak out. And people will hear. You may not know they've heard. But here Paul is telling these Ephesians, I've heard. I've heard. And what has he heard? I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And I'm writing you this letter because of this. Paul had heard of their faith, and he called it their faith. This is your faith. It's a gift of God. He's going to go into that in the very next chapter. And he's going to expound on it. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is yours. If God has given it to you. It is your faith. It is personal. It is individual. It is the faith. We emphasize the source of the faith. When we preach, we try to. We emphasize the author and the finisher of faith. And we should. That's our duty. Where did this faith come from? But we never want to forget that that faith does come to the people of God in time. And it becomes your faith. And people will hear of it. The fact that you come to this little place, you know, if you miss the turn, this place is gone. You're in the state park all of a sudden. But you come to this little place, and we did fill this place yesterday, but it took 5 or 6 different churches to do it. This handful of people that want to hear about the Lord Jesus. I heard that. And this week, these last 2 days, this day, I've seen it. And it's an evidence of your faith if you believe him. Because we want to emphasize the fact that believers are actually given this faith. Now, the question always comes up, do you qualify? Do you have the faith of the Son of God? Do you have the faith of the operation of God? I like that phrase because it's God that has to operate on you. It's God that operates on his people, every single one. But this faith is the gift of God. It's not something you work up, but it is yours. If he's given it to you, it's your faith. And this faith is specific, as Paul calls it, the faith of God, the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of Christ, the faith, I got a piece of ice, excuse me, the faith of Christ, the faith of the Son of God, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, again, the faith of God's elect. The faith of the saints, which were at Ephesus. Paul calls it your faith here. Because this faith had been given to these Ephesians. This faith is now in them, a part of them, and it's a part of you. It is your faith. And Paul had heard of this. Now, he gets a little more specific. This is our faith, your faith, in the Lord Jesus. Just in case there was any doubt. This is what Paul heard of these Ephesians, not all Ephesians, these Ephesians. These saints at Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul is always specific when talking about the faith of the Lord Jesus. Because faith in science doesn't matter. Faith in nature doesn't matter. Ooh, and faith in man is what we call totally misplaced. And it doesn't matter. Paul had heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. And this is where I got a little worried, Walter, because Larry started on this yesterday. Paul never uses three words when two will do, by the Spirit of God. He said the faith in the Lord Jesus. He said the faith in the God-man. He is Lord and he is man. Not was, is. Larry said that ably. He is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. A man is sitting in heaven. That man, that God-man, is the one that these Ephesians' faith was in. In the Lord Jesus. The believer has complete and total confidence in God and man together in one. That one man. They can't be separated. He has promised they'll never be separated. Those angels said it. The messengers. This same Jesus that you've seen go up is going to come back down. The faith of God's elect is in the God-man. It is in the Lord Jesus. It is those that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But only man could die. And then he went to this verse, Walter. I got it right here. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. These Ephesians believed on him, in the world. This is part of the gift of God. To every child. He is going to place every child as a son. He is going to bring in his lost sheep. And they will no longer be lost. They're still sheep. They've always been sheep. But they will no longer be lost sheep. Because they will be given the faith of God's elect, and they will believe on him who is perfect God and perfect man. The Lord Jesus was the perfect substitute and sacrifice for sin to the Father, and our faith is in him, or it's not the faith. If your faith's not in him, it's not the faith. I don't have any faith in Buddha. Even though I've seen one that was 15 foot tall. Got pictures of him to prove it. Yeah, with a little bald head guy sitting right in front of him. And people in there kneeling. And I don't know what they were doing because, see, they were behind glass and I was outside and that's the way I wanted to keep it. Your faith is in the God man. Yeah. You people, man, that's all you talk about. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. If we get off on anything else, it's generally a sideline. Because he is our message. He is the Savior because he is the Lord Jesus, the God-man. Only the Lord can save. Only. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of God. And he was the complete and perfect substitute and sacrifice. And he completely satisfied the offended party. Not you, the Father. The Father. And I want to tell you something. If you've made it this far into this book, this letter that Paul wrote, he could be pretty confident that you might believe God. Because if you made it into this far into this letter without being offended and without throwing this letter away or without trying to explain it away, well, that just means, no, it means what it says. It means that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I believe that. I believe that. I don't understand everything about it, but I believe it. Because this is the God of the Bible. This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They acted in unity, in one accord. And Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. It wasn't an afterthought. This was the plan from the beginning. This is what he hath purposed in himself. This is in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons, the adoption of children, it says, but it's the placement of sons. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, the glory of his grace. See, if you can get there, if you can get through that, you're doing something 90% of this world can't do. Because they will not have this man to reign over them. They will not have this man, the Lord Jesus. And that is who Paul had heard their faith was in. It was in him. But that wasn't the only thing Paul had heard about. Paul heard about your love unto all the saints. That's one of the reasons why I thought this would be a nice thing to preach about today. Because I've seen this in the last couple of days. This place, we came here. We set it aside. We planned this to come and hear men preach the gospel to us. And you know what? I love it. I loved it. I loved hearing the gospel preached. Walter, this is 2015. I've known you since 1983. That's 32 years. And I'm not bored with him yet. I'm not talking about Walter now. I'm not bored with the Lord yet. Walter can be kind of annoying, but we're not going to. He picked on me, so I get to pick on him. But so can I. But I am not bored with him yet in the least little bit. I like studying. I don't know what's wrong with me. I like studying. I got some books from Earl. Some of them are mighty fine because I've got the hindsight now because I've got what Earl highlighted or underlined. That's right. It's like having a cheating textbook. You get a used textbook and you hope the guy that had it used to have an A. Well, I know Earl Cochran. I knew Earl Cochran, and I'm persuaded that man knew the gospel pretty darn well. So if he underlines something in a book, either it's because it's really good or really bad. That's the only part I have to figure out is when I see what he underlined, you know. I like doing this still now. And I like being with you people. Now, there was a bunch of people here yesterday I didn't know. But everybody I saw was smiling and happy that they had been here to hear the gospel preached. And they were talking about it, and they were talking about each other, and they were talking about other things. But the reason for this gathering is because of your love unto all the saints. It's not just this assembly. It's not just this assembly. I love people I don't even know. Well, now, granted, that's easier than loving some of the people I do know. But it's true. David, you said it the other day. You have a connection with people who have faith in the Lord Jesus. There's a connection. And I feel it and I know it. Now, I have been fooled before. People have come and people have fellowshipped and left. But that's on them because I'm still here by the grace of God. But my fellowship with you people in the gospel and in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ does lead to my love for all the saints. And these Ephesians, and guess what? Paul heard about it. There are people that left this place and going back to where they were. And they're going to say, we had a good time here. The gospel was preached and nobody cut a rug. Nobody got offended. Nobody cried. Nobody yelled. Nobody screamed. Rejoice. And again I say unto you, rejoice. Why? Because the gospel is preached. Earl explained that to me one time, Walter. I had said something. I'm not going to confess what it was. And he was correct in doing so. I've been rebuked before. I will probably be rebuked again. Well, it's human, and I'm human. I fail. But he looked at me, he said, well, he said, there's scripture for that. And I said, of course there is. Because I knew it was coming. I just knew it was coming. This wasn't the first time he had rebuked me either. We were just sitting around talking. We were talking about Christ. And I said something that I probably shouldn't have said, but it was honest, and I was honestly wrong. So he corrected me. He said, no, if Christ is preached out of envy, Christ is preached out of strife, it doesn't matter. Paul wrote it, nevertheless, Christ is preached, and therein I rejoice. And that's right. As long as it's Christ that's preached. Now that is the acid test. When the gospel's preached, I can rejoice. And I do rejoice. And if I don't rejoice, there's something wrong with me, not with the gospel and not with this book. And not with the man preaching. I mean, we have personal problems. There are sometimes things bother us. And you have secondary things. You have physical afflictions. I know. I've spent way too many times in doctor's rooms and hospitals and my own and other people's. But I always want to be able to rejoice in the gospel being preached and enjoy this love for all the saints in faith, the faith in the Lord Jesus. Now Paul, after he'd heard this, said, I cease not to give thanks for you. And I give thanks for this place. Well, mostly the place over the hill, but this place too this week. This assembly. You people like hearing the gospel preached.
Yeah.
You don't know how rare that is some days. I don't even think about it sometimes, Walter. But then every now and then the world will kick you in the head. Because the faith, your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints is an aberration in this world.
Yes.
It's an aberration now. This used to be the doctrine known throughout the world. This used to be about the only doctrine there was. It ain't that way anymore. Your cousin, or Penny's cousin and I were talking, he was talking about, he says, there's churches up there I never even heard of before. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. You got open door churches, you got closed door churches, you got Presbyterian, Free Will, Episcopalian, you've got Bethel missionaries, you've got everything under the book. The Sunshine Gospel Church. Which there ain't no sunshine, there ain't no gospel. Just in case you wanted to know. Man has heaped, and I mean heaped, that's a good word, to himself teachers having itching ears. And he goes to hear where he hears what he wants to hear. And he doesn't want to hear this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want a God who is in control. He doesn't want a God who is sovereign. He wants a God of himself. And he'll tell you so. Well, I can't go there. And there's sometimes you want to say thank you. I'm serious. Earl and I had that discussion too. I'm not. Well, you know. Earl had been through it. He'd built that big old Baptist church, the First Baptist Church at Shady Spring. He was pastor when all that stuff was done. That place was full. And guess what? He left, and error didn't creep in. It trampled in. And that's all it is now. They might as well have Free Will Baptist Church written over the top of it. Because they won't hear the gospel now. They won't read this first 14 verses of Ephesians and rejoice in it. Paul said, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Because after Paul heard, he gave thanks for you to God. A true believer rejoices when others become believers. That's part of that love for all the saints. I even like new ones. New as far as they're concerned, as far as they know. Young ones. If you are not happy seeing people come to the Lord Jesus, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
I like to see the body of Christ, and that's what this assembly is, enlarged. Because we're dying off one at a time. We're getting old, we're getting frail. We need some new blood. I used to be the new blood. Somehow or the other, it's gone. 32 years, Mason. That's how long I've known you just about then. And I still like him. Because of this gospel.
Yes.
Because of this Christ. This Lord Jesus. Never cease to give thanks for those who are the saints of God. A true believer rejoices in the growth of the true church of Jesus Christ. It makes believers happy and thankful when people come to Christ. Paul prayed for these believers, and he prayed to God for them, thanking God for them, because other believers are part of God's gift to you.
Yes.
And to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have anybody to preach to if somebody wasn't here. And I wouldn't be here hearing somebody else preach unless there was somebody else to preach. And if we weren't here together gathering, because if I didn't have this place to go to, I'd probably be at home. But I like coming here. We are to pray for each other. We pray that God will bless his people, his household, his believers. Now, you know he will, but we're to pray for it anyway. He's promised that he would, and he will. And he does, because he has. And we pray for that. That's the best kind of prayer, when you know God's already promised to do it. Well, that's a prayer I know is in the will of God. God has promised to bless each and every one. We are predestinated unto the adoption of children. We have had the mystery of his will made known unto us according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God, the Father, has promised and shall bless his people. And he has promised to have his people brought to him. Jesus Christ came to this world, God the Father, saying to reconcile the world to himself. That reconciliation is happening. And parts of it have already happened. Be ye reconciled to God. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Boy, is that a verse. To whom does God pray? Paul pray? He prays to the Father. In the name of the Son and for the people of God. Who did Christ pray for in John 17? Well, I can tell you who he didn't pray for. People hate that. Oh my goodness. Smile, God loves you. My old saying makes more sense now with that Noah movie out, Walter. That was the bumper sticker on the back of the ark. You know that, don't you? Smile, God loves you. No, he shut them in. And in shutting them in, he shut everybody else out. Now, you can like that or you not like that. That's what it is. That's the way it works. And that is the Father that we have been reconciled to. The one who brought the flood. The one who killed everyone on... all except 8 souls.
Yeah.
God brings death when he wants to. Ask Pharaoh about that. Ask those mothers in Egypt when their firstborn died. See, this is not a game. I do have a good time. And I do enjoy the preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I do enjoy the fellowship of his saints. But this is serious business. Because it takes the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, to give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And that includes knowing the Lord Jesus. And knowing the Father. Because if you've seen Him, you've seen the Father. Christ was not saying, oh God, don't flood the earth. Jesus Christ was that ark. And there is salvation in no other. And that family, Noah's family, one family, was safe and secure and protected in that ark, and everybody else is dead. That's the message of Noah's ark. It's not a little boat with toy giraffes that you put in there with their heads sticking out the top. I used to have one of them when I was a kid. That's not in the children's Bible story part of it. The people in the ark were alive and they were safe. But everybody else is dead. And that's the way it is. Outside of Christ, everyone's dead. Everyone outside of Christ is dead. Now, I'm not saying they're not elect, but everyone outside of Christ is dead. Until He gives life, there is no life. Until He gives the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, there is no wisdom or revelation in Him. In Him. You can have a flash of genius and design a better mousetrap. I know that guy's really annoying on those commercials, but OxyClean works. I'm glad somebody invented something to get my underwear cleaner. But that's not the Spirit of wisdom or revelation. I know, it's just what come in my head. I was on this morning. Yeah, I might hear from Martin Lloyd Jones about that illustration. Paul prayed for these saints. And he prayed that the Father would give gifts to these saints. He will, but we pray for it anyway. Why? Because we're told to do so. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him and nowhere else. There is no wisdom, there is no true knowledge outside of Christ. It's either in Him or it's not. What do you call it? Science, falsely so called. Why? Because science changes from year to year. Sometimes nowadays from week to week. But this book is the same. This truth is the same. From the beginning. And the conclusion of all this, this is the way it's supposed to be. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. You can't have one without the other. You can't have love for all the saints without faith in the Lord Jesus. And if you've got the faith in the Lord Jesus and you don't have the love of the saints, you might want to make your calling and election sure, as they say. And this is the order of those gifts also. Faith, then love. This is the way it has always been. Paul wrote it this way in Ephesians. Luke wrote it down in Acts chapter 2. And if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. A very famous scripture that is on the side of a lot of Pentecostal holiness buildings. Well, if I could find it here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that's where the Pentecostals stop. That's not where Luke stopped. And I'm not going to stop there either. Although what he wrote down is true. But so is what comes after it. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You mean it ain't up to you? You got to repent and baptize. Now, why would you do something like that? You must be one the Lord our God called. You see why Pentecostals don't read that verse? But that's not what I'm talking about. It's just where it is. Acts 2:40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41, then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'd like to see that, Walter. But here's the point. And they continued.
Yeah.
And they continued.
Right.
And they continued. And they continued. And they continued. He read it. He read it yesterday. If you continue, then you're my disciples. Well, these that the Lord our God called, these that gladly received his word, why? Because if you're of God, you'll hear us. You'll hear us. The world won't hear us. The world hears itself. But these, they heard, they continued, what? First thing. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is important? Are you guys sure about that? Oh, there are places that are very, 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 very proud. We don't teach any doctrine here. They're right. They don't. Thank you for testifying, brother. You don't know any doctrine and you don't teach any doctrine. And you surely, surely do not teach the apostles' doctrine. See, Luke was even specific when he wrote this down. It's amazing how that works. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And.
Fellowship.
And breaking of bread. And we're going to do that later. And in prayers. First and foremost, the apostles' doctrine. Well, guess what I've been reading to you and talking to you about this morning? It's an apostles' doctrine. This is the day of Pentecost. This is right at the beginning. How did it start? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What did Paul say? That God would give you spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's the apostles' doctrine. Do you believe it? Do you believe him? This is the way it started. This is the way it's going now. And this is what I saw here this week. I saw people come here who come from different places. We had a fellow come from Indiana to preach to us. But he preached the same Jesus that I'm preaching to you this morning. Now he preaches differently than I do, and I enjoy the dickens out of it. Had a fellow come from there, a fellow come down south. North Carolina is where Mike Walker was originally from. I don't know where Marvin's from. But it's the same Jesus. The same Jesus that went up. It's coming back. That's the same Jesus they're preaching. And I saw you people rejoice. And I saw the love for all the saints in you. And I thank God for every one of you. And I thank God I'm a member of this flock. And that I get to come here. And I get to rejoice with you. And again I say, rejoice. That's it.